Well, I run a website called String Tunes Radio, and I made it, and it's basically 24/7, mostly live String Tunes Infinite shows, and also a lot of live Railroad Earth shows.
Oh, cool.
And some other bands that I just like.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed the band when they came in October, and I thought it'd be good to interview you, seeing as you're new.
Yeah, great.
Just got some questions here.
Sure.
Where are you from originally?
Well, I came to the band by way of Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. That's where I'd spent the last few years of my career. I grew up in Florida, near Jacksonville, a place called Fernandina Beach. Went to school in Tallahassee College, that's where I really sort of learned to play. But yeah, I've been working in Atlanta there a few years.
Nice. What sorts of bands were you in before Railroad Earth?
I took the usual, I don't know if it's the usual sort of career trajectory, but it certainly worked my way up. I started, I had my own band, friends in college that I was playing with. We toured all over the East Coast.
Oh, yeah? What was that band called?
What did they call themselves? Whiskey Richard? Yeah, that's what they called themselves as much. Yeah, and some friends of mine from college. We did that for a while, and then the band thing's kind of hard to do and on your own, so they parted ways and all this stuff. And so it really sort of started when I was doing a jazz gig randomly, and I met Bobby Lee Rogers from the Code Talkers, which was a Colonel Bruce Hansen band. So myself and a drummer friend of mine joined that band. This was post Colonel Bruce.
Mm.
Played with him for about a year and a half, as long as we could, till that band sort of fell apart too. And Bluegrind Undergrass is from Atlanta as well. That's where I worked with the Code Talkers.
Yeah.
And so I played with them the last year, and it was starting to slow down, and Jeff wanted to do his acoustic thing and all that, and I just needed to work more, and that's when I sort of met up with these guys. The Code Talkers actually opened up for Railroad Earth.
Oh.
A couple of times.
So that's like
that's kind of how I knew about them. I didn't know them personally, but I'd met them briefly when we opened for them, and that's how I knew about them.
Were the Code Talkers also bluegrass?
No, the Code Talkers were like, I don't know if you've heard of any of other Colonel Bruce Hampton's bands, like the Aquarium Rescue Unit or no, you haven't.
Yeah, I don't know, but
well, ARU. Maybe it's a Southern thing, but they're really ARU has got the most notoriety. That's where Jimmy Herring and O'Teal were both in that band. That's how they got. They was playing in those bands. Jimmy Widespread's guitarist and O'Teal, of course, he's Allman Brothers bass player.
Yeah.
They're from that band. But Bruce has had a million bands. That's what he does. Yeah. And it was the Fiji Mariners after that, and so it was like this funk fusion kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah, they're very different. But Bluegrind is very similar to Railroad.
Were you playing a stand-up bass in all these also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit, but both. I tend to play. Shut the doors. I played a little bit of both. It just kind of depends on the song. I would play electric on more funk or rock kind of things, and upright on bluegrass and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was always pretty much a part of what I'd done.
Nice. Do you play any other instruments or just bass?
I started on trombone. I actually played that for 9 years, but I don't really keep up with it anymore. That's how I got started and learned how to read music and all that. Middle school and high school band.
Yeah.
Of course, like many bass players, I played guitar before I ever played bass. I just don't keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep my guitar playing going.
Who are some of your musical influences? You mentioned a few before. I assume they had some role in influencing you, but...
I guess, as a bass player anyway, you go through... If you really want to do justice to the instrument, and this is true for any instrument, but
on the bass anyway, which being my instrument, you kind of have to go through the usual suspects. Jaco Pastorius, James Jamison, you know, Mingus, Ray Brown. I mean, I studied jazz. That's how I learned the upright. I got a degree in jazz. And so I went through a bunch of those, you know, really trying to study the masters of the instrument. That's how you, you know, Scott LaFaro from Bill Astrio is a big one. But that's just where you get your basic stuff from. I mean, any bass player will probably name all those names.
Yeah.
After that, you kind of have to really, you know, search around and find music that connects with you to really develop as a musician. You know, for me, that's, you know, really good songwriters.
Yeah.
It evolves. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of jam bands and stuff. Uh-huh. Keep my shit listening to, but you know, I've also listened to a lot of songwriter stuff too.
Man. So when you're not touring, what are some of your favorite acts to go see?
Let's see. I don't have a lot of time to go to concerts as much as I'd like to, but the artists I would like to see, well, I guess when I lived in Nashville in 2006, and I got to see a lot of my favorite artists, My Morning Jacket. I like the Benevento Russo duo, they're great. I saw them with Trey and Mike, which were guys that I grew up really enjoying, but who I hadn't listened to much recently. Who else did I see? It seems like I saw a handful of concerts that year. But really, I guess I should say it's more artists I would like to see, which would be Matt Ward, Monsters of Folk. That's the stuff I really dig these days. Wilco, I'd love to see Wilco.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the artists I wish I had a chance to see.
Cool. Well, what did you think of Railroad Earth when you first heard them?
Well, the thing that really struck me the most about them, I don't know if we're going to get a lot of the sound check.
It's pretty dope, yeah.
The thing that really struck me the most about them was their song based, which is my thing. I mean, like I said, I grew up listening to jam bands, but as I got older, you know, things became more about the creative side, the expression of things, I should say, not even the creative side, because the bands I like were very creative, but the expression, and that's really where songs are such a key to a good band. You know, I mean, you have the best musicians in the world, put them on stage, and you know, the energy can be great, but that's, for me, such a small part of my musical experience. Most of the time, I'm listening to CDs.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, some people, that's all they do is go around and travel and shows and stuff, but I don't get to do that, so my biggest experience is with the song itself, on the iPod, on the CD, you know? So, that's one thing I think that Railroad Earth really set them apart, just as a first impression, when I saw them opening for them, you know? It was, they had the songs, and would stretch out from there. And all the bands that I've been in have kind of done that. Because I guess I just gravitate towards that. I like to have
good song, right?
Music that I can listen to, can totally stand on its own. Just acoustic guitar and voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, you put the good musicians with it, and it takes on a whole life of its own.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that this bunch of guys does really well. You know, you can take a tune like Seven Story Mountain. That'd be a great tune just to hear on its own. But then you add all this musical dynamics to it, and it just takes off.
Very nice. Do you do any songwriting, or have you ever written songs?
Yeah, just in the... I started out when I was doing the jazz thing, really writing instrumental music, but the music I write is always largely a function of what outlets I have to, you know, express it and play it. So that's what I was doing then, but recently in the last few years I've really worked on just songwriting and, you know, trying to become a better singer. And it's come a long way, and that's really what I focus my time on. And I have probably enough tunes to do an album, and I'm hoping to do something like that in the next year or so. But, you know, obviously, it's such a long time coming, because you're always, as a bassist especially, you're always supporting other people's music so much, which is fine. I mean, I love to do that. It's that's part of why I play the bass, because, you know, half of me, I write songs to just express myself and just to be creative, but I've never had a desire to be a front man. That's why I've always played bass. I don't mind standing in the back. I, you know, it's fine. You know, and being watching so many other great things happening around you. So definitely, yeah, I enjoy writing songs and hope to get something going here in the next year or two.
Do you think any of those songs will end up being played with Railroad Earth?
Man, it would be an honor if those guys decided to do some of my music. But at this point, the most important thing to me is, you know, really supporting what they're trying to do already. I mean, they've got a 9-year history before I ever showed up. And my goal when I joined the band was, well, when they invited me to join the band, was to not have them lose any ground, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in this, the world of music that they're in, and also String Cheese and any of the artists similar to them. The fans are, the beautiful thing about being a musician in one of those bands is that the fans pay attention to who you are. And, you know, they develop a relationship with Johnny Grubb. I mean, even their 7 years, you know, it's like, I mean, if you took Mike out of Fish, you can't just put, I mean, you can put O'Teal in there, he's a great bass player, but it wouldn't be Fish anymore. I mean, it's, and that's kind of the deal. So I just wanted to, stepping in, you know, be who I am, but also make sure I learn the material well and make sure that that the band doesn't really lose any of its identity, you know. And so down the road, you know, as I'm in the band and time goes on, you know, I'll develop, and as who I am, you know, the fans will, you know, hopefully I'll develop a relationship like that too. And when, if those guys decide down the road that they want to play some of my music, that's great. And if not, that's, you know, that's fine too, because that's not why I didn't join the band to do my music. But they're great musicians and great songwriters, and if they want to do that, it'd be great, you know.
Sounds good. Did any kind of hazing happen when you first joined the band?
Let's think. Not really. I'm trying to think if they did. I played any jokes on me or anything. No, you know, not really. It's just been so, we've been so busy, honestly. I got there and I learned about 65 songs before our first gig, even. And, you know, I have had a, so I'm still learning some every week. And on top of that, we started a new record.
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest thing for us right now, yeah. Is we're about halfway through recording a new record. That's the other thing when, kind of ties back into the last question, is there are already songs prepared for the new record and all that kind of stuff. So having to work on learning those tunes and record them every day. We're not on the road, we're in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think they even had time to think about, I mean, we have fun on the road for sure, but there's no, like, you know,
yeah,
you know, leaving me in town overnight or anything ridiculous, you know, kicking a hole in my bass or something, you know. Not really anything like that happening.
What's the best part about touring with Railroad Earth?
Well, that's actually a pretty easy question, because the best thing for me is, I think, as random as it is, being thrown in with a bunch of guys, not just 5 other musicians, because we're 6 of us total band, but we have a great crew too. There's 5 crew members. I mean, that's a lot of people and a lot of potential for conflicting personalities. But there's not a stitch of that. I mean, it's like, there are people that are like musicians, as far as musicians, they're most like myself, I think. And there's not any, like, you know, having to avoid anyone's habits, or it just flows so smoothly, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The whole dynamic of not just the band, but the crew, and the way the business is run, mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm joining up with a bunch of kids that are like 20 years old and they just want to hang out and mess around and waste time, you know. Even though I'm the youngest one in the band by far, it's still, you know, I'm more on their plane as far as just how we want to get things done. And that really, more than anything, makes it so easy. You know, everyone's on the same page as far as, like, you know, wanting to take care of business and
keep it professional.
Yeah, but well, also having fun too. I mean, I'm I can tend to be a real smartass, and luckily I'm around people that have a sense of humor too. So it's not just I don't say something and they're like, what? You know, like, you know. So it's good, you know. I guess it's just that they're laid back, and you know, it's
it just, everything seems to just fit right in from the get-go. So that's the best thing for me.
Cool. Well, I'm hesitant to ask, but what's the worst part about touring?
What's the worst part? Let's see. Well, there's not anything that's bad about it, of course. I mean, every musician, especially one that, you know, like anyone, if you're going to have any kind of decent career in music, you have to sacrifice a lot. And so to have an opportunity, this is the best opportunity I've been, you know, fortunate enough to have been offered so far. And so I really can't complain about anything. But the flip side is a sacrifice you just have to make in general to play music. Right. And part of that with this band is having to move so far from my home, you know. I've always lived in the South, you know, and they're based out of New Jersey.
Right.
So for the time being, I've had to come up, you know, really for the past few months, I've lived in New Jersey. Friends of the band. I don't know anyone in New Jersey. All my friends live in New York City, which isn't too far. I can go visit. But that's been, like I said, I wouldn't say it's a big deal or anything, but that's been the biggest sort of sacrifice as far as doing this, having to move up and you know, I was living in Atlanta and it's just like, well, hey, we want you to join the band, so how soon can you get up here? And we're like, oh, you know, it's like, I gotta get out of the lease, gotta put my stuff somewhere. So that took a bit of, you know, logistical working with it. But other than that, you know, that's taken some work, but it's worth it for sure. You know.
Nice. What are some summer festivals you're looking forward to playing?
For me, it's going to be the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, High Sierra is going to be great. Colorado, we're doing Mile High. We're doing Yarmany.
Uh-huh.
We're also doing the East Coast ones, like All Good and Floyd Fest and stuff. And I haven't played those yet. But I'm really looking forward to the West Coast, because the funny thing is, for me, and this should go under the question of what's the best thing, or one of the things I like about Rhodes, is that they are such a big West Coast band.
Yeah.
Because it's just funny that it's never worked out this way, but I've literally run a trench in the East Coast. I've played the East Coast so many times.
Yeah.
And even before all my touring, I was playing bass for Carnival Cruise Lines off and on, just as a way to save money in there. And I've been to Europe doing that, all around the Caribbean. I crossed the Atlantic Ocean. I've been to Japan with the Code Talkers.
Yeah.
Just
not the West Coast.
Yeah, and my mom's Canadian, so I've been to Canada like 15 times. Never been to California.
Wow.
Never. I mean, I've traveled all over. Never. I've been to Mexico more than I've been to California. I went to Colorado once with the Code Talkers, but never done the West Coast. So yeah, looking forward to Yosemite. That's going to be fun. Strawberry Fest, Yosemite, September 3rd, and Mile High. Those are going to be highlights for me. Some.
Cool. What about Horning's Hideout?
With the String Cheese thing?
Yeah. Is Railroad Earth going to be playing?
I don't think so. I think they're, because what date is that? Do you know?
It's July 29th through August 1st.
Yeah, that's actually an important day for us, because while we're not playing, Mike Partridge, a longtime sound guy, sound engineer, is getting married that weekend.
Oh.
So pretty much everyone from the band is going to be attending that. So yeah, as much as we like to be a part of it, that's been asked of us. That question has been asked of us a million times. But yeah, that's one thing, you know, someone gets married, you gotta, you know.
Alright.
And we're looking forward to that though, and everyone's happy for Mike, of course.
Kind of off topic, do you have any thoughts about the recent merger of Ticketmaster and Live Nation? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of it, and I've read some articles about it, and you know, it's probably been 6 months since I really read the article on it, and there were pros and cons both ways, and actually the way that the cons are very obvious, you know, it's turning touring into a monopoly, which which is, of course, a terrible thing for independent bands. And, well, every band's independent.
Yeah.
But, you know, bands aren't backed by some major label or some major promoter or some major promotion company. It's just, you know, there's so much great music out there. That's one thing that all of this in the music industry, whether it's the labels, tanking and the way the online stuff has changed the game and everything's free now. There's still great music out there. There's more great music than ever.
Yeah.
And the more people can have access to that, the better. Our industry will flourish as long as people have access to it. And as someone who knows only a cursory amount about the merger, I just see it as another way that it keeps people from having access to more good music.
Yeah.
Until, you know, your band's not going to be able to play to make it to that next level unless someone lets you through that door. Even if you're drawing well and you're, you know, it's going to be hard to jump to that level until those powers decide that you can.
It's also like a deterrent for the fans because the way they mark up the tickets.
Exactly.
Like, I went to a show last week, it was a $16 ticket. If you bought it at Live Nation, it was a $9 service charge on that.
Yeah. So well, why?
It just, you know, discourages people from buying tickets, I guess.
I agree. Once again, you know, exactly. That's a perfect example of how it can just keep good music down. Even acts that are established, you know, it's going to keep you from your fans while having to, you know, pay ridiculous ticket prices. And that's one thing that, you know, people pay any amount of money to see a band they love, but at the same time, you want those people that are trying to find out about you and, you know, just want to support music in general that aren't your hardcore fans to be able to support you too.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I said, I can't really remember what the pros were. I don't know. There's many for most bands. There might be for a handful of large acts, but who knows? You know, I don't think it's a good thing, of course. You won't find many musicians who do.
Right. Yeah. I think the only people that like it are the people getting the money for it at the company.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add or say?
No, not really. I mean, I tend to talk a lot as it is.
All right.
That covers most of it. So far, it's been good. I guess, you know, the only things that I would add are just that important stuff coming up with Railroad Earth, and that's it. We got a mid-September release we're really pushing for this record.
What's it called?
We don't have a name yet. No. We don't have any of that stuff sort of ironed out. But we do know that, and this is stuff that we've been working on constantly, is we're trying to stay on schedule for this mid-September release, and there should be a pretty extensive amount of touring coming up after that comes out. You know, we're doing the festivals this summer. Obviously, we already talked about those. Those are going to be big for people to come see us there, but definitely looking for that record.
And all new stuff on there too?
Yeah. Well, we'll do one instrumental that's been played at the live shows.
A new jam.
Well, there's a few of them, and you know, we'll see. We'll see which one makes it onto the record. You know, I don't want to give too much away about it, but that's something we are going to do. But it's unreleased, and all the other songs are not songs that have been played before. So it will be. For all practical purposes, it's going to be all new stuff, and we got a good label supporting us on it. It's going to be, you know, we're doing it right, and hopefully this will be, it'll be something for people to look forward to. Of course, some West Coast states coming to support it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, so what's going on for us right now?
Well, thank you, Andrew.
And thank you. Yeah.
This is Jeremy from String Cheese Radio and Andrew from Railroad Earth, May 14th, 2010, at Lupo's, Rhode Island.
Thank you.